It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hi everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Inside China Tech. I am Zhen Su, a tech reporter with the South China Morning Post, and today I have with me technology editor Chua Kong Ho.
Hello.
And also we have a very special guest who will give us a ground level look of what is happening with the US-China trade war and tech war. So hey Jens.
Hi, my name is Jens Gampel. I'm the CEO of Sourceability, a distribution company of electronic components.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you and your company do?
Yeah, definitely. The majority of our business is to supply electronic components to manufacturing companies. Any kind of electronics that are manufactured in the world, we supply electronic components to.
So do you also, you know, buy components from the US and import them into China to Chinese companies? You know, what kind of clients do you have and what kind of components do you import?
Yes. Actually, we buy components all over the world, and we export and import them to all places in the world. Since China is a major hub of production, we, of course, supply our customers in China, which are international companies producing in China and also local Chinese companies.
So for these Chinese manufacturers that you supply to, what kind of components do they usually buy from the US?
This is any kind of component, from a passive component to an active component to a real semiconductor like a processor, FPGA, or memories.
I understand that your business also has clients in China, like Huawei, like ZTE. So how is this impacting you? How are you seeing the situation?
Okay, for us, it has an impact with these special named customers that are on a ban. There are a lot of customers still in China that are not on a ban. Also, American companies like Flextronics, Jabil, Sanmina, who all produce in China. For the Chinese companies, especially in this case, Huawei and ZTE, we have to fulfill the import restrictions into China given by the U.S. government, and we have to follow them, which means we have limited opportunities to ship certain commodities, certain products to these customers, or I guess maybe for some products there's no chance at all to supply customers like ZTE and Huawei. And I guess we as a company, probably also some of our competitors, became very careful now in accepting orders from customers, or even making offers to companies like ZTE or Huawei.
You know, it seems to me that your business really depends on globalization. You know, we have an intertwined global supply chain. With this export ban, and you know what many people are now calling a tech cold war, how does that affect your business? And you know, are you doing anything to try to prepare for this?
Definitely, we do. And as I mentioned, since there's only a limited numbers of Chinese companies under this ban right now, this is quite manageable. I think we have even more impact on the tariffs, on the import tariffs on product that's coming out of China. So and that's now sold through us into production in the US. So we have to deal on both ends. From my point of view, as I said, I'm the CEO, and I'm personally liable even here in the US that we work according to the laws. We become very careful now in dealing with the Chinese companies that are under ban.
Are you seeing a change in procurement patterns from your customers? Are they sourcing more components from outside of China, perhaps in other places, or even moving factories out of China?
I think this is what we see right now is, you know, it's not that easy to move a factory from one day to the next day. But what we definitely have in discussions is that we hear that companies who mainly produce in China will look for options outside of China, in countries like India, Thailand, maybe in Indonesia. So there are people that have their focus on production in China right now definitely explore other options in case this gets more tense.
Do you think that it's possible that U.S. companies would totally pull out of their production in China? Because as we know, China is, you know, the world's manufacturing hub, and you know, it's very, like, a lot of the know-how and technical capabilities are based in China.
I don't think so. No. At the end of the day, I think what we see right now is that the U.S. government wants to make sure that they have the same opportunities. They feel mistreated in that business relationship, and there's much more import from China than export to China. We will see that there will be agreements, and that China is still will be a key manufacturing part in the world.
The U.S. obviously has put all of these executive orders and all of these restrictions on Chinese companies, but at the same time, you know, we've also talked about how China has the manufacturing advantage. So in this situation, who do you think relies on the other more? Who needs who more, basically?
Now we're getting into kind of politics. I'm not a politician. If you hear the U.S. politics, you will hear that China depends more on the U.S. At the other hand, I wanted to tell you, China has 1.4 billion, I guess, population. They have a great market inside China. And I think China long-term will be sustainable from the demand that's created out of China. But nevertheless, I also think that China has an interest to keep the status as a manufacturing hub. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely convinced, if we look 1 year or 2 years ahead, and then most of that trouble that we see now, what we call a tech war or a tariffs war, I think will be gone in the next 24 months.
Do you think that even if the trade war is settled, that the tech war will also stop? Because, you know, obviously, you know, with the chips restrictions, I mean, one of the big problems that companies like Huawei right now are facing are that if they aren't able to get chips from the U.S., it is difficult for them because they are not yet at the same chip making capabilities.
Not yet. Not yet. I think China picks up in the capabilities of developing chips and technology. But the bottom line is, I think that tech war also can be solved if the main intention, I guess, of the U.S. government gets more attention in this whole negotiations, which means protecting American or non-Chinese intellectual property inside China. I think this is the key.
Yeah, I'm just going to bring you back to your point just now that as CEO, you're personally liable for compliance with US law. Now, we know that the US export ban is actually quite far-reaching, so that even if you're not an American company, as long as your product has technology of US origin above a certain threshold, you're also covered by that law. I mean, as a business owner, as a business operator, how do you keep track of all this? And doesn't that, you know, increase compliance costs for you and, you know, your peers in the industry?
Sure, it definitely does. We have a department working on this that already, if we get requests for quotes or whatever, we have to see where's the origin. Are these on restricted export? On export restrictions or not. It definitely increases our costs, and we always were cautious about it, but we have to be more cautious, especially in times like this.
And And I know that you think that China will still remain a major manufacturing hub, but do you also see that perhaps China will be manufacturing for China and maybe for some of the other countries that are friendly to China, and that for countries that are allied to the US, they would create a backup or the alternative supply chain to supply the other half of the world? Is that something that's on your mind?
You know, this is a very extreme scenario that I definitely think that companies that right now produce in China, as I mentioned, will see or look for other options. So no doubt about this. And I'm sure that China increases capacity and capability to produce competitive semiconductors. But as I mentioned, I think right now what we see is a little shift and tough negotiations from both parties. Simply for me, it's hard to imagine that this kind of war, talking about the tariffs and also the tech war, is going for more than 24 months. I definitely, it's hard for me to believe. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm doing this since more than 30 years, and I guess it's simply a reorganizing of the level of the playing of the play field.
I think 30 years is probably about the time where we saw the globalization move, yes. Globalization era. Here's this hypothetical for you. I mean, if this era of globalization were to reverse, would that be catastrophic for your business?
Oh, I don't think so. I think any business can adapt to, and that's probably then also the main job of a CEO, to navigate your company to the circumstances that surrounding the company and the markets. I am born and raised in Germany. I immigrated to the US 12 years ago, which was an adjustment. Yeah, and I started my company here in the US. And I think if there's such a dramatic change in the environment, then as a business owner, you have to find ways to adapt to the circumstances and the situation.
Do you have like a contingency plan or like a plan B? What would happen if, you know, this all goes south, if, you know, the tariffs keep going longer? Because as you mentioned, China is a global manufacturing hub and the US is the provider of a lot of very important components. So what's your plan B?
For us, this whole business that's impacted is approximately 30% of our business. So it's not the majority. Yeah. What we do right now already with the tariffs in place is that for our customers that are outside the US, for example, talking about Mexico, where we would have used our US warehouses, now we supply to the customers like in Mexico and Brazil and Latin America, Costa Rica. We supply them now through the warehouses of in Hong Kong or in Singapore, so we can avoid the tariffs. The tariffs mainly have impact on our customers in the US, yeah, which means here we have an increase of costs that has to be absorbed either by us or by our customers, or ultimately probably by the consumer.
Do you travel much to this part of the world, to Asia or China?
Yes, definitely. I was already this year four times in Hong Kong, Shenzhen, Singapore. We have offices and warehouses in Hong Kong, in Kowloon Bay, and in Singapore. We have offices in Shenzhen and in Shanghai. So I'm regularly, I would say, at least six times a year in China and in Asia.
And what are your customers or your suppliers telling you? I mean, from China.
Yeah, I think right now This is kind of sad, yeah, that there's an uncertainty, and people are, I think it has an impact, especially it has a psychological impact of the people, because the business over the last decade increased so much, and we developed really good business relationships with Chinese people or all Asian customers, And it's somehow looming over all of us because nobody really knows if it ends or when it ends. And we see a decrease in business already. We saw that in Q4 last year in China, in the Chinese market, and also in Q1. So this is something we have to compensate as a company through business, either in for example, in Europe or in the Americas or in the other Asian countries.
You know, Apple has that great line about its iPhone being designed in California and being assembled in China. Do you think that is something that they would have to drop? the way things are going?
I think, first of all, Apple has no own production. It's mainly Foxconn, or the contract manufacturers, not only Foxconn, but I think Foxconn. So what we heard already, I guess, 6 or 12 months ago, when the CEO of Foxconn was visiting the White House, and I guess he was here a few weeks ago, that Foxconn has the intention to build a factory here in the US. So I think the contract manufacturers, companies like Foxconn, Flextronics, Jabil, Sanmina, you name them, that they definitely have plans in place to produce in countries like Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, outside China. But they will also remain. You should not forget, all these companies, American companies, also European companies that manufacture in China, also developed a lot of Chinese customers in the last decade. And I don't see them walking away from that.
Is Europe going to benefit from all of this?
Or maybe like Vietnam or Southeast Asia. I mean, we are reading reports of factories moving to Vietnam. Yeah. And all
that. India might. On a manufacturing level, I don't see production coming back to the US. I don't see much production going from Asia back to Europe. That happened 10 years ago in critical productions, like for automotive, whatever, where then the companies decided better to go into Poland or Czech Republic or Hungary or Romania. If you look in the consumer goods, in the mass production, I don't see that moving away from Asia.
So we are just too far gone in the era of globalization to really head back. The jobs aren't coming back to the US.
Yes. I think yes. And you know, I'm sure at a certain point, you know, and being a German, a portion of my heart always is will be German, even if I am very Americanized. What is this? Germany is a country with 80, 85 million population, and it's still, after China, I guess, the second largest exporter, because it develops good products. And I think that's what we have to do here in the US. We have to develop competitive products, if it's automotive or it's aviation or whatever it is, and then we are able also to export back into China as a American, as corporate America.
Thanks so much, Jens, for coming on to our podcast to share your experiences, you know, running an electronic components distribution company and your views about how this trade war and tech war will play out.
Thank you for having me, and maybe we next time when I'm in Asia and Hong Kong, maybe we have the opportunity to meet in person.
Yes, definitely. All right, so that's all the time we have this week. If you would like more of our coverage on the ongoing US and China tech war and trade war and how it's escalating, head on to scmp.com/tech. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, my handle is @zensu. Finally, if you like our Inside China Tech podcast, please do rate us 5 stars and subscribe on iTunes. We can also be found on Spotify, Stitcher, and Himalaya. I'll see you next week. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.